Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals will have Noah Cameron on the mound tonight. He takes the spot of Cole Reagans while Cole Reagans continues to recover from that groin injury. Still hasn't been put on the IL. That's the good news. But Noah Cameron will make his debut. St. Joe native. He'll be pitching up against the Rays this evening. We're going to talk more about what we expect and what it can mean, etc., coming up after What's Trending. But it's always fun when you get a chance to see someone, more so even as a starting pitcher, I guess, with this organization recently, make a debut. He'll have that MLB debut patch on the sleeve, man.
That'll be in a card eventually. Down the road, you know? Anytime it's like a really high, like Jack Caglione's, I can't even imagine. Once he makes his debut, it's going to go. We'll have to get, like, we might have to invest in a, might be worth us trying to get a product. Yeah. Just have a little fun on the show with it.
That's at least a year away from the product standpoint.
Yeah. Little ways down the road. Next up on What's Trending, Eli Manning is looking into minority ownership of the New York Giants, reportedly getting a group together right now to try to put that bid together. Not often. You see lots of former athletes who make a ton of money, and they do, obviously with their production company and Omaha Productions and everything else. But you don't often see it with the team they actually played with. A lot of times you just see it like any ownership group. So Eli trying to get involved with the New York Giants.
NBA postseason last night, we saw a series wrap up between the Celtics and the Magic. We also saw the Pacers come from behind to beat the Bucks 119-118 in overtime. They definitely did. So the Pacers move on. Celtics move on. The Pistons have stayed alive. That series now 3-2 after a win against the Knicks. Also, the Nuggets take a 3-2 lead on the Clippers. So here's what we got tonight. Warriors-Rockets. Golden State can clinch that series with a win. You've got the Timberwolves tonight. They can clinch the series against the Lakers. Can the Lakers push this to a game six? We will find out.
Like it if one of these series got extended. Obviously, last night looked like maybe the Bucks would try to extend that thing a little bit out, but the Pacers came back, so it didn't matter. Next up on Watch Trending, the Atlanta Falcons have been fined $250,000 as an organization as a part of those numbers leaking for potential prospects as the son of the defensive coordinator prank called Shedeur Sanders and maybe some others who were also prank calls, Abdul Carter and others. He himself, Jeff Ulbrich, was fined $100,000. He makes $1.6 million as a coordinator last year. So about 5% of his salary, 6% of his salary in a single fine. If I were his, oh man, that's a tough headline to read if you're the kid.
I don't know. There's a few out there maybe. You can cost your company, no matter how much it's worth, you can cost your company $250,000 and keep your job. I mean, that tells you it's just a different world in the NFL.
How long does he get to keep it, though? You better be a damn good defensive coordinator today.
Better be top five defense or something in football next year in Atlanta. They spent two first-round picks on edge rushers, and they just ate a $250,000 fine for you. You better have a hell of a year coaching that defense.
Mm-hmm. I better be impressed.
I saw our guy Aaron Lapp post today. He retweeted they've been fined, the Falcons have, for this tampering with Kirk Cousins, They also
lost sound.
The sound pumping in. They lost $350K. They've lost like $1 million collectively.
What the hell's Arthur Blank doing over there? Run a tighter ship, my guy.
Yeah, he's Arthur Blank, you know. Just money, you know. Just money. Just a few bucks for him. Just chop a chain.
He's not poor. Uh-huh. You know. Just saying he can run a tighter ship.
Too could be just a chump change like, for you too, Gold.
Again?
I said you could be in the same situation here potentially if you keep on riding.
Could have been nothing to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turn 20K into 500K just like that, you know?
Could you imagine if we had fines in this business? We did for a while, the Justin Ross thing. You had to put money in the jar if you mentioned Justin Ross for a little while.
Yep.
That's about the closest we've gotten. Who's going to be the new player on that list?
Or it might just be a hypothetical one.
We'll see.
Cody, you and I might be losing money. We're going to have to keep our mouth shut in regards to hypotheticals.
Speak for yourself.
Well, that's what I'm
directly.
Saying.
No. You're the only one on the show, I think.
Guilty of it in one show because I was asking about throwing 80.
The both of us.
Yeah. In fairness, again, I wasn't claiming I could throw 80 in that case. I was asking if you
thought
I could.
Cody and I were pretty bad a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
Lastly, don't forget the Cody and Gold Road Trip, Saturday, May 3rd, 96.5thefan.com. Over 200 of us going. If you'd like tickets, $10 at 96.5thefan.com. All brought to you by The Art of Sports.
All right. Don't forget, it is the lunch hour. You're thinking, what should I do for lunch today? It's a Wednesday. You know, the weather, you look outside, still looks kind of crappy.
I was like, is the sun still exist?
So you might as well go and get some lunch, though, maybe, and have a good lunch with our friends over at Jefferson's. Each and every Wednesday, they're a lunch partner here on Cody and Gold. They have a new happy hour as well that's here to save you money. 7 days a week, you can enjoy half off appetizers and half off your bar tab, whether it's Jefferson's in Lenexa, Jefferson's in North Kansas City. Not to mention on Mondays, they have all day happy hour, right? They have the same great deals during their reverse happy hour 7 days a week. Jefferson's wings, burgers, oysters.
Great spot to go watch, I don't know, some NBA action tonight, like you said, if you want to check out that, or just grab lunch now, as we were previously mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Lunch at lunchtime does make a lot of sense.
So we're going to get to Noah Cameron in just a bit here, and he's going to make his debut, as we said, during What's Trending as the Royals take on the Tampa Bay Rays. But when you think about what Cole Reagan's status is, let's start there and get to Cameron. The fact that he's not on IL, and we're going to ask Vern about this in 25 minutes or so, tells you they think maybe he just needs to skip a start here and recover.
I think so.
There's also still a scenario where by the time the next start comes around, then
if they're still winning.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Do you be more patient, or do you think this is Noah Cameron pitches tonight? Even if he pitches well, he's one and done kind of thing.
I think most likely this means that Noah Cameron's up and then back down.
Yeah.
And look, here's his problem: is that it's a tough rotation to crack right now. Who exactly isn't holding up their end of the bargain? Michael Lorenzen last night shoved for 6 innings of one run ball last night. He was coming off a pretty good start before that. So I don't take this as I'm not overly scared. I'd be more worried about it. And I'm obviously hoping, I think they should take their time with it, with Reagan's, because I'm assuming that's part of the reason he's had a little bit of wild command, is that this groin issue maybe had been bothering him before. It eventually came to a head where they wanted to like skip a start and give it a little bit of rest. Now he's got another 4 or 5 days to recover. You leave Cameron on, let him get paid a week like a big leaguer, and then make your decision as you get closer to it. I think that's probably the best decision towards the end. My guess is that Reagan's makes the next start because he's not going to want to miss a lot of time in the bigs. But yeah, I mean, for Noah Cameron, he could go out there tonight, and we can talk more about the Royals in a second, but like he could go out there tonight and throw 7 scoreless. Right now, this is the rotation. Seth Lugo, who has made 6 starts and has a 3.08 ERA. Chris Bubich, who's made 6 starts, has a 2.25 ERA. Lorenzen has a 3.48 ERA in 6 starts. Walker with a 3.38 ERA in 6 starts. Cole Reagan's is technically their worst starter. At 6 starts and a 4.4 ERA, because he's had a little bit of command trouble here as of late, I'm assuming related to the injury. We all know that Cole Reagan's is their most talented starter. We're not even, I don't think anybody's even here arguing that. And they've got everybody pitching better than him. Yeah, pretty good sign the bullpen's okay.
I don't want to read too much into one start. I'm saying that today before we even know the results, right? Like, so if he bombs tonight, or if he you know, goes in and pitches 6 innings of one run baseball, it's one outing.
Yeah, I mentioned Jimmy Gobble yesterday for a reason.
I was trying to think who's the last starting pitcher, prospect wise, not vet, to make their debut for the Royals. Who prior to him? Who would that have been prior to Noah Cameron tonight? Was it Jonathan?
Who's the last starter?
Yeah,
was
it like Jonathan Heasley?
Bolin?
Or Bolin, yeah. I'm just trying to think how some recent debuts have gone. Obviously, multiple years ago, Daniel Lynch, but I was just trying to see like how often,
remember,
what's
like,
the track record of these debuts for these guys?
Now it's been too long. I don't even like... I don't even remember how Brady Singer's debut went. Like, I don't know.
I want to say Heasley or Bolin were the two most recent prior to this. Or, yeah, because as far as not just Royals debut, but I'm talking MLB debuts.
And as a starter,
not as they came into the relief. Oh, Alec Marsh.
That's probably like
Buddy Texan.
That's probably exactly right. That's okay. Probably a good answer. But like, yeah, the good or bad, and we'll talk about his start tomorrow. Certainly, we'll do that. But it's like the good or bad is not going to change it. The problem is he could throw a no hitter tonight. I don't think he can get in the rotation.
Yeah.
Like the rotation is the bread and butter of this team right now. And what you should feel good about is that if Noah Kamara can come up and for the times they ask him to start, this won't be the last time they need a fifth starter. This won't be the last time somebody needs to miss a start, skip around, move. You got to be available every time they call your name. If you want to be a part of, let's say, the playoff rotation, you want to be the guy that they call you up, and they don't normally do that with rookies. You want to be a part of this rotation next year. You got to make sure they do this. Is it weird that I feel bad for him? This is the smallest thing, and I bet he doesn't even care because he's making his major league debut. And for those who don't know, he's from St. Joseph, Missouri. Yeah. He grew up a Royals fan, I believe is what they said on the broadcast last night. So this is a true dream come true. He's getting to go to the big leagues for the team he grew up cheering for. Is it weird that he got called up from AAA and his major league debut has to be in a AAA stadium? I feel kind of bad he doesn't get to do it in a big league stadium.
Yeah, I guess.
He's got to go do it at George Steinbrenner Field. Is that a stupid thing to care about for somebody else?
I think he's a little bit not underwhelmed. I guess it is. It is underwhelming. I don't know if he cares. Because like, you want to be out there with the stand, the building's bigger, everything is bigger about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't feel that way.
When you're making, and again, he'll get another chance, but like, let's just say he makes the start, Cole Reagans is back the next time. When's his next chance? His next chance, big leagues might be months from now. And you have to do it in a AAA park?
And it's not
going to be pitching in a lot of AAA parks.
It's not going to be with the patch on. It's not going to be the same.
I'm not claiming it's a huge deal. I'm telling you he's still living his dream tonight. He is from St. Joe, playing for a team he cheered for, pitching in his major league debut. He probably doesn't care it's in a AAA stadium. I care for him.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. But it's a AAA. It's a spring training stadium that is going to be completely, and it already, if you watch the broadcast, that they've added like Rays elements to it, right? Like it's clearly a big league game and all that. I understand. It's not like he's having his debut at Yankee Stadium. I totally get that. But in a weird way, it might actually even make him more comfortable tonight.
You think so? Just pitching in the normal, take away the.
I mean,
like,
in general, I think we're reading into it too much.
He's not pitching at Yankee Stadium.
In general, I think we're reading into it too much. But if I have to give an answer on it, I would say if maybe there's a chance he's even more comfortable.
I don't know that it has an impact on like his pitching. Like, I don't think it impacts his like. Does he have a good? I just think it sucks. It sucks to go through all that work, make all these debuts, and this one's unavoidable. This was a hurricane ripped through a stadium. There's nothing they can do. It'd be worse, honestly, if they were playing in that Sacramento park. I'd be like, just because these losers can't get their franchise figured out, I got to pitch at this tiny little ballpark instead of like a big league with a batter's eye and make it, you know, I don't know. I just want everyone's big league moment to feel cool. I still, and this is like probably the baseball fan in me, I love baseball debuts. I love them getting to like, I'm in the majors. I love them having that moment. It's so unique. So few people actually get through the system. Like I was looking today at the Royals AAA numbers because just for clarity, somebody was like talking about like the next guy they need to do something with, Massey or Renfro or Vinny or whatever. And Gold and I are way on the other side of any possibility that Vinny should have any even discussion of being sent down right now, even though we both know he's not hitting. It has nothing to do with that. It's just he's still too valuable to the team from an RBI perspective and where he started the team and where he hits and everything else. But we were looking at AAA numbers, and there's a guy there. I can't remember his name now. There's a guy in AAA right now. He's a 28-year-old shortstop. He's been in the minors whole life. He's played like 3.5 years in AAA. Like, for the guys, like, that guy may never see the bigs. We don't know. Shortstop's a tough position. Wouldn't say that that's real open at the moment. Like, that's, you know, like, it's a tough. Making it through, it means something. So, like, I just wish he got to do it in a big league park.
Yeah. Someone says, hey, the worst would have been the COVID season, having your debut and nobody's in the stands. That's a million times worse, and that's a fair point.
Yeah. That was. I'll never forget. I will never forget. That's a weird time of life. No one will forget. Anyway, going to opening day for the Royals that year with 12 people in attendance, all media members or people who worked for the team, and you're just like, this sucks. I don't like it. For the Royals, I will say, the offensive numbers, yeah, like last night, they're just winning instead of losing. It's no different than what we were watching the first 2 weeks of the season, Gold. They still can't hit. Matt, like right now, the Royals have two, F-war-wise, two of the worst players at their position in all of the big leagues. Right now in F-war, Renfroe ranks dead last at right field. Michael Massey ranks dead last at second base. That one's a way bigger surprise to me. Renfroe, who has had a better career, obviously, to this point, we might have just seen the signs of aging and things were coming to a close on him. Massey, I had high expectations for this year. Seemed like he was back at second base and comfortable. The back issues has not been the reason why. He's been, like normally with him, we were just talking injury, not play, and he just hasn't lived up to being the same player so far this year that we're used to. It's a weird mix. Right now, every single one of Bobby's hits in his 20-game hitting streak feel important because where else are they getting it? Other than that, they're just praying for the Drew Waters had a big night tonight. Last night, it was Freddie Freeman. Didn't Freddie Freeman have three hits last night? There's banking on a different player every day, Gold, to show up and have a day versus they need Vinny to hit. They need Massey to hit. Like Renfroe to a lower degree. They need the guys who hit. Jonathan India needs to hit better. Like they need those three guys. And it's the same thing we're saying, except for now they're winning. So like now I feel even less pressure. Like before I felt pressure. Like they need to do something with the MJ because they were losing. Now they're winning. Now at least I can like live my life. They've won 7 of 8. I don't know. That's bad. Someone's saying I can use Lola Young's song Messy for Massey instead. That's a really good song. Have you heard that song?
Maybe. I'm bad with song names. You guys
really
know this.
Really, really, really good song. Her album's great, but it's just, I don't think, she's got a very specific style to her singing that I don't think I can come anywhere close to mimicking.
But you think you were able to mimic others?
No. Yes. I just better, yes. It just varies in degree, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do like that song though, so maybe. Someone says from the 913, I agree with all this, but at least Mikel has stepped up. Mikel Garcia and Drew Waters
have really
are currently
been key,
if those
key
guys,
pieces.
Yeah, if those guys were hitting at career averages, I mean, this ship be sunk. Like, I mean, they'd be out of offensive options. It'd just be Bobby Witt Jr. getting a couple of hits every game. And at some point, don't you? Like this 20-game hit streak, for it to last, let's say to get to have a chance at 31, which is the Royals record. Vinny better start hitting, because why would you pitch to Bobby Witt Jr. right now? If behind him, Vinny had two chances, I think, to get an RBI home from second base last night, something he's usually pretty good at. Oh, no, you know what? Bobby was on first for one of those, and he advanced him to second, so it was a productive out. But he had a couple chances to get guys home last night, didn't do it. He knows that. But in order for Bobby's hit streak to continue, Vinny has to hit. Because at some point, they'll just walk him. I just think they'll stop. Someone asked earlier in the text line, if you intentionally walk him 5 times in a game, does his hit streak continue? The answer is no. You have to hit in the game to get hit streak to continue. Doesn't continue if he misses time. I don't think either, right? If you take a game off. Oh, you know what?
No.
I don't know about the game off thing. About that. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I don't think that's accurate. What you were saying before.
The walks? I don't think your hit streak continues if you walk 5 times.
No, but like if teams, especially, no, like it's the unwritten rule thing. Nobody's going to, let's say Bobby's at 40 game hitting streak. They're not going to intentionally walk him 5 times
no,
in a game.
I'm just saying to get to 31. Yeah. Vinny has to hit or they'll just start being even more careful
with
Bobby.
I think Bobby's a hell of a player. I don't think we're at the point in the season where teams are going to start treating him like Barry Bonds and just walk him 4 times a game. I don't believe that's happening.
From the 913, can Lofton play second base or right field? He's tearing it up at AAA. He's an option, but I will tell you, they had a choice on him today and they sent him back down to AAA and reinstated Tyler Tolbert off of the bereavement list. I'm not saying that that's the end all be all, but they had a decision on that today and they decided Tolbert instead, and that they're going to stick with their plan with Massey and Renfroe for the time being. Because that would have been a good time to make a move if they wanted to.
Yeah, see, this is where we'll have to ask Vern. This is when we were talking about.
I don't know. I have to look it up. I'm not sure. I guess I thought
at bats
die.
Just same reason why when we talk about like when we're betting total bases and stuff like that, you don't get credit for walks on that. I think if you are intentionally walked, those do not count
as
hitting
streak. It's a 30 game hitting streak. You played the game, you didn't get a hit. I would think that it dies. I don't actually know the rule on it, I guess. That was just a maybe wild assumption by me.
Yeah, I don't think that's how, because I don't believe that's the case. Okay. You don't, it doesn't count. Like if you,
go look at a
box score from the other, like another night where somebody walks, somebody else on the team might have, you know, somebody else might get credited with 5 at-bats. Somebody else might not get, might not have the same, you know,
but
may
he
not
played
be the
in the game. Like I understand your argument for he technically didn't have an at bat, but he played in the game.
But it's not based off if you like if Bobby Witt Jr. got walked his first time up and then for some reason got hurt. I don't know if that's different. But I don't know. We can ask Vern. He knows more on the nerdy stuff than I would on this. But I don't know if you get intentionally walked four times in a game. I don't believe those are at-bats. Therefore, the hitting streak continues.
I would think it dies.
I don't know.
Like,
yeah,
you're not.
Know.
It is not an at-bat. It is a plate appearance, and this is like the nerdy baseball nonsense that exists. It is a plate appearance, but like for, because it is not a.
I'm not sure.
It's not a verified. They don't like keep a verified MLB stat of like hitting streaks, right? It's, I don't know if they have rules around
it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I guess is the question.
All right, someone else that is pretty well versus if he plays, it doesn't matter.
That's my thought. If he plays it,
if he plays, it just doesn't matter.
He stepped to the plate. It's not like he didn't get a single in five plate appearances, not at bats. Technically, in that case, I still think he played.
Now,
but
to your concern,
I'll be honest,
now, to your concern, again, I don't buy into the fact that he's just going to get intentionally walked four times a game and the streak's going to end. I just like. He's great. He's also not Aaron Judge hitting 50 home runs a year. They're not going to treat him like Barry Bonds. Now, he's getting pitched very difficult, you know, very, very tough, and it's making it difficult. But I do not believe that we're just going to start seeing teams intentionally walk Bobby Wood Jr. during the streak now.
Oh, someone's like putting up the MLB rules. I'm like,
yeah. Now, text line is so split on this.
The old text line. Dude, I don't know.
The old text line split.
What to ask Vern?
Walks don't count as an at bat, but again, that's what we're trying to figure out.
That's not like does he have to have an at bat for hit streak to die?
Yeah,
he played in the game.
The way that makes the most sense though is if he's intentionally walked, he's not even getting a pitch to hit. They're just sending him to first base. Well, that shouldn't count.
Right.
Where if he's getting if he's getting walked in six pitches,
this is where
he has a shot.
Here's MLB 9.23. A consecutive hitting streak shall not be terminated if a batter's plate appearance results in a base on balls. Hit batsman, defensive interference, or obstruction, or a sacrifice bunt. A sacrifice fly would terminate the streak. A consecutive game hitting streak shall not be terminated if all the batters played appearances, one or more, in a game result in a base on balls, hit batsman, defensive interference, obstruction, same. The streak shall terminate if the player hits a sac fly or has no hit. A player's individual consecutive game hitting streak shall be determined in consecutive games the player appears and is determined by his club's games. So I guess not. He can intentionally walk five times and the streak continues.
Wait, so you're allowed to sack bunt, but you can't sack fly? If you want to move a guy to
look, man, first, I don't know what to tell you.
Move a guy from first
I'm
to
more
second,
confused now than I was
this,
30
this
seconds ago.
This game's like 4 billion years old, and they just like make up stuff. Round ball, round stick, doing nonsense.
You can sacrifice bunt where a guy does not score a run, but you can hit a sack fly where a guy does score a run, and it hurts you.
And the hit streak dies, yes.
But if you sack bunt to get
sack
a guy
bunt,
from first
mini
to
sack.
Second,
Bobby can sack bunt five times
for
tonight.
India.
His hit streak can go to the next day if he's just not feeling it against the starter, you know?
All right.
Okay.
But again, he would have had to not gone like 0-for-1 before.
Sure.
He gets to do five sack bunts or five walks and a sack bunt.
That would conceivably be hilarious if he actually laid down five sack bunts in a game. I don't care.
Bobby's
about
the
guy,
the last person I want laying down a sacrifice to.
Agreed.
To me, it does make, like, if we're being like, again, baseball doesn't always make sense, but like, it makes sense in theory if you did tell me, yeah, hey, if I get walked five times in a game, my hitting streak should not end. I like agree with that fundamentally. It sounds like that actually is how the rule is.
Okay.
All right. Glad we got through that together. I'm glad we talked that out together.
I mean, honestly, I had to look up the MLB rule. I had to go straight to the
rule. If we're interpreting that correct, that last sentence you read confused me.
Well, hang on.
In such player appears and is not determined by his club's games. I don't know what that part means, but the rest of it makes sense.
So a walk doesn't count towards it. A hit by pitch doesn't count towards it. Because somebody brings up an interesting point.
He can be hit five times the streak lives.
Not that they would do this, but somebody said if he's a day away from breaking DiMaggio's record, and let's say they're playing the Yankees, and they're like, you're not breaking this guy's record on our watch, then theoretically, they no matter if they hit him four times, or if they walked him four times, it wouldn't actually prohibit him from breaking the record. That would be nice.
I mean, they are just... All right. Let's ask Vern. Can we still ask Vern at 12:30 and just see if he thinks it interprets it the same way we do?
Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to look at DiMaggio's hitting streak and what happened during his streak.
I'm guessing he just...
They probably didn't care. I mean, what was the record before DiMaggio? Obviously it doesn't matter, but
no, I'm just saying, like, this doesn't answer our question. And just in his streak, he walked 21 times during the streak. Oh, that doesn't matter. I don't know. All right, as we're talking this one out together,
it's a
fascinating thing.
I hope
we
it
are
comes
a long
up
ways away
I,
from it mattering, but
because if this happened in game 44,
he
walked five times, and the people would be like, "It's not real. DiMaggio never walked," and you're like, "It's not his fault. What? They didn't give him anything to hit, so he walked."
Yeah. I bet you Vern has the answer.
Probably.
We're going to talk to Vern next about that. We're going to talk to him about where this offense is at and what he makes of the decision to call up Noah Cameron tonight. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you right in the middle of the lunch hour. And on Wednesdays, our lunch partners, our friends over at Jefferson's, they got a brand new happy hour that's here to save you some money. 7 days a week, you can enjoy half off appetizers and half off your bar tab, whether it's Jefferson's North Kansas City or Jefferson's Lenexa. Whether you're coming out to watch the game, looking for a good place to meet up with family and friends, Jefferson's in Lenexa in North Kansas City, the place to be, a restaurant that is proudly local. Jefferson's, wings, burgers, oysters. Let's keep talking some Royals baseball with our Royals insider, Josh Verner. He joins us each and every Wednesday. He's got his On Deck show coming your way tonight at 5 o'clock as the Royals continue their series against the Tampa Bay Rays. We'll get to Noah Cameron's debut in a second, Vern, but we were having a very nerdy conversation in the last segment about hitting
classic
streaks
baseball stuff
and walks. And if you go and walk four times in a game, is the hitting streak over or not? You, I think, are the perfect person to ask.
Well, I went and found the same passage that Cody read on the air, so the answer appears to be if you never make an attempt at getting a hit, your hitting streak can continue.
Makes
right?
sense.
If they hit you five times, if you walk five times, if you lay down five sacrifice bunts, but a sac fly, you're trying to get a hit, right? You're putting the ball in play in an attempt to get a hit. So that would kill the hitting streak. But, I'll be very surprised if Bobby is plunked five times tonight or issued four free passes.
I mean, it would be kind of crazy, but, like, I guess
you know
somebody...
what? Even if they try, Cody, the way that Bob's hitting right now, if you look at this 20-game hitting streak, it's not as if they're all in the strike zone. He's hit a few off his shoe tops. It's obviously impressive, and you throw into that speed, man, you can try and work around Bobby Witt Jr. and he'll still find a way of extending that hitting streak.
One of the guys we think has to hit better in order for the hitting streak to continue, obviously, is Vinny Pasquantino. For anybody, Vern, who might be like, hey, by this time next week or 2 weeks from now, what are they gonna, you know, the similar they sent down MJ, I've pointed out the RBI, the fact that he hits third, the left-handed stuff, and track record being stronger points the other way. What are you seeing from Vinny? Is he still suffering from the injury he had at the beginning part and he's never got his timing back? Is it, what do we think is wrong with Vinny, I guess?
Well, I don't believe it's the injury. Like, I don't think he's still bothered or hampered by any sort of injury, because if he was, the team needs to give him some time. And obviously they're not doing that, keeping him in the lineup every single day. We've all talked and heard about his admission that he was chasing more bat speed, and you know that to me is a little bit too easy. It's never that simple in a game that is in the gray area. It's never black and white. So, you know, sure, bat speed I'm sure has something to do with it, or his quest for additional bat speed, but you know, there's also expectations on Vinny this season and the team that have never been there in his career, in his life before. The offense is struggling. He knows he's a key cog, and he knows this offense will never get out of the basement of Major League Baseball's offensive statistics until he turns it around. And I think that's one of the main reasons why we're nowhere close to Vinny being sent down to the minor leagues, because, you want Mark Canha to hit in the cleanup spot a little bit more often? Okay. Yeah, you want to drop Vinny in the lineup? Fine. Okay, I'm not going to fight you on that. But there is no replacing Vinny. Now, you could say, hey, but there's no replacing MJ Melendez and that type of power, at least the power potential that he brings, and the team made the decision to option him. Sure. MJ wasn't a key cog last year. He wasn't a guy that ran into 20 home runs and nearly 100 RBI. He wasn't a guy that you had in pen as your number three hitter for the duration of this 2025 campaign. There's no replacing Vinny Pasquantino, just like there's no replacing the power potential that MJ Melendez brought. You've already made that concession. This organization isn't deep enough to continue making offensive concessions. You need two of the big three at the top to get going. You need India, Vinny, Massey. I don't care which two, but two of them got to get going or else this team's always going to be near the bottom of every offensive category.
I think sometimes we have this mindset that it's, you know, fantasy football or fantasy baseball, and you're like 2 weeks into the season and you get rid of five guys on your roster and go to the waiver wire. And like, they're in a month in the season, they're not going to get rid of their opening day left fielder, right fielder, second baseman, and number three hitter. I mean, what world are we living in?
Yeah. Also, if two of those three don't get going, we're not seeing Jack Caglione either.
Right, right.
Because if two of those three don't get going, eventually a slight regression from this rotation, not even a massive, just a slight regression, is going to lead to an elongated losing streak, and it's going to hurt this team, knock them well below 500, and might eliminate the opportunity for Jack Caglione to help this team make a playoff push. Again, for as great as the rotation has been, for as much as trust and a camaraderie has been built in that clubhouse with the way that the rotation has picked up the offense, the way that a guy like Vinny and Jonathan India continue to lead with positive body language, for all the good things that have happened, if two of those three bats don't pick it up and relatively soon, the good vibes that we are searching for, that we feel at times with this team, will be eliminated.
Do you agree with us, though? Like, I guess the way I view this, and this is what Alex and I talked about yesterday, the stat you gave actually made us feel this way even more. The fact that the only two offenses that are as bad as the Royals are the White Sox and the Rockies, and they're combined, I don't know, 100 games under 500, brilliant, somehow they're the two worst teams in the league at this rate. The fact that the Royals are 500, to me, I take that they're a good baseball team. This is a good baseball team. It is whether or not they can hit now, but I view that as it would have buried you already being that bad offensively.
Without question. Yeah, and you know, last night, Michael Lorenzen, puts together his third quality start. The only Royal with more is the number four starter. You know, one of my big concerns coming into the season was, for as great as Reagans and Lugo and Waka were last year, and for as much as this team needs them to duplicate it, can you get a duplication of the number four and five starters that we saw in the first half of last season with Brady Singer and Alec Marsh? And so far, it's been even better with Chris Bubich and Michael Lorenzen. You know, we could talk about the defensive improvements here and there. We can talk about the bullpen and the guys like Angel Zerpa stepping up, what you've seen from Steven Cruz, right? There are plenty of reasons to say exactly what you said, Cody. This is a good baseball team, and you know, with 80% of the season still ahead for this squad, I refuse to believe that Vinny Pasquantino is going to be this bad. I refuse to believe that Jonathan India is going to be below average the way that he has this season. You know, Michael Massey, do I believe he's the second worst everyday player in the American League? No, I don't, but you know, he does look lost at the dish right now, especially in the big spots. For hitting in the five spot almost regularly, the guy's won for his last 14 with runners in scoring position. It's he alone isn't killing the offense, but he coupled with Vinny and Jonathan India, your 1, 3, and 5 hitters, man, it's tough to string anything together right now.
We're talking to Josh Fernyar, Royals insider. All right, so Noah Cameron makes his MLB debut tonight on the mound. I think it was towards the end of last season we started to hear his name mentioned more. You were there in spring training, so you watched him pitch. What are the Royals maybe getting out of this player? I don't want to say necessarily with his performance tonight and that everybody should judge him just off of tonight, but what kind of pitcher is he, and should fans be excited about this?
For making his big league debut, he's not going to strike you as a kid. Now, maybe he doesn't feel his legs in the first inning. Maybe he does. Maybe being in that ballpark in Tampa actually calms his nerves somewhat. As you know, it's going to be a capacity crowd, but what's that, 10,000 people down there? But he's built like a man, carries himself like a professional, right? There's no timidity when it comes to Noah Cameron walking out on the bump. If I had to compare him to anybody, you know, I guess Chris Bubich is the obvious comparison. He's not going to blow you away with velocity. It's, you know, low 90s, but he has a 4-5 pitch mix, and he can command all 4-5 pitches to all four quadrants. That's, You know, when Chris Bubich is going right, he's keeping the hitters off balance. He's keeping them guessing. He's changing speeds and hitting all different locations in the strike zone. That's the plan of attack for Noah Cameron. Aggressive in the zone, keeping hitters off balance, confident, great body language out there on the mound. And yeah, he's ready for this moment. Again, beyond his years as far as a maturation as a professional. Now, as I say all of that, the big leagues is it's a different beast. I have high expectations. I'm excited to see what he can bring. And I'm not surprised, certainly. I think we've talked about it. I'm not surprised that he's the first one getting the call from the minor leagues to replace somebody in this rotation, especially with the, you know, slight setbacks for Alec Marsh and the delayed start for Kyle Wright.
I don't remember the exact time on it, Vern. I think he might have been drafted by Dayton Moore, but is it weird that I kind of view 21. Him as... I view him as a little bit, he was drafted by Moore, but I view him a little bit as the like first guy to come through the pitching system that J-Day developed. Is that a bad way to look at it? Because a lot of these other guys
Bubich
were like...
might be that.
Okay.
And not even that J.J. developed, that this new pitching department helped develop. The Brian Sweeney, Zach Bove. Bubich is actually the guy that first encouraged me that, okay, things might be different now in Kansas City. But as far as a young... you know, Alec Marsh, I think, also fits that billing, right? Marsh, you know, how many years did we wait for him to figure it all out? The strikeout numbers would be great, but then he's given up bombs left and right. Brian Sweeney, Zach Bove, Paul Gibson, they, you know, start working together, and you've seen a much better Alec Marsh. But as far as someone that was not even on the radar, maybe when JJ and Brian Sweeney all started working together, yeah, I think you can point to Noah Cameron. And, you know, another reason for excitement is the confidence that this coaching staff instills in a Bubich, in a Marsh, and in a Noah Cameron. Instead of telling them what they shouldn't do and what they're doing poorly, it's encouraging them, surrounding them with positivity about what they already do well. And yeah, I'm excited. I don't want to say high expectations for Noah Cameron because he's likely to be optioned right back to Omaha after this game tonight. I'm excited for him and what kind of launching pad this could be, right? Go back down to Omaha, take everything that you've learned, and when you're called upon again, hopefully you're in the rotation to stay.
Vern, if you missed it early in the show, Alex had the card pull of a lifetime in getting a one-of-one Caitlin Clark. We've been trying to spend his money today.
Wow.
How would you like to see Alex spend his money? We're talking 10-20K.
I don't know. Yeah,
put
run it,
on it
back.
Black.
Try to double it.
Jeez. I knew Vern would
I
say
said
that.
Buy a house. I was actually responsible.
Wait, hang on. I don't understand that.
Not that amount. I just said like a down payment on a house and stop paying rent.
Yeah, the house thing is a bit crazy, I think. But no, it's a one-of-one Caitlin Clark gold vinyl. I'm sending it to an auction. If it grades well, Vern, it could be 20 to 25. Otherwise, it's probably 10.
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
Oh,
it was the biggest
goodness.
Freaking card ever that I've pulled.
Well,
yeah.
Then put it in a high-yield savings account. How about that?
That sounded like an adult, Vern. Sounded like a true adult.
Some of it will go to the IRA.
Especially with what's
IRA.
Going on in the world, man. Take care of that money. Make sure you're set up for whatever could happen.
There you go. Sound advice from Josh Vern. You're our Royals insider. Appreciate
true.
It, man. There you
all
go.
All right, thank you. That's way to go. Holy crap.
Yeah, man.
How are you even on the radio right now, man?
Vern,
I've been running through the streets with
Vern,
no pants on right
it
now.
It happened Friday night. We just haven't brought it up in the air. I didn't sleep Friday night, okay? I didn't sleep Friday night because
yeah,
of that.
Right. I just stare at it.
Now all of June, we'll be watching what Jack Caglione's doing in AAA by then and what Gold's card's doing at auction.
Yeah.
Hey. You know what? If you want to cut out a middleman, I mean, Bobby has a lot of money and he loves cards.
I know.
You want to sell it to someone real quick. Cags has some cash.
I got
too,
a cash.
While
I got
you're
a cash offer.
Show it to him.
I did get a cash offer already, but it was a pretty low ball offer of $7,000. So I think it's gonna go to an auction site that's got a good history with this stuff.
$10,000 from Cags, and he comes on Cody and Gold whenever you guys ask.
Just anytime we ask.
Yeah. It'll be a
I don't
little
want
bit,
your uniform.
You hold all the cards right now, Gold. You hold
That's
all
right.
the cards, no pun intended.
There you go. Of course. There you go. Josh Vern, our Royals Insider's on deck show tonight, 5:00, as the Royals get set to take on the Rays. I think what happened is Vern hadn't heard the story, and then you said.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought maybe
he said.
He's usually pretty in tune to the show. He didn't know.
He heard you say, like, oh, he's going to buy a house. He's like, wait, how much is this card?
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened there.
If you missed that earlier, we talked about in the 11:00.
Go to our Twitter account, at Alex Gold. For those that are into sports cards and stuff, you'll probably understand a little bit more. But basically, was in a card break over the weekend, pulled a Caitlin Clark rookie card gold vinyl, one of one, as in it's the only one of that type.
Card,
yeah. Yep, one of one. And if it grades well, right, you send it to a grader. If it's a perfect card, that's called a 10. If it's a 10 in auction, that auction house believes it could go for 20 to 25. Otherwise, we're probably talking 10 to 12-ish, give or take.
I mean, what a sad existence.
I know, it's terrible if it's only 10 or 12.
Funny, it's turning funny how down, quickly turning your down opinions 7, 000, change, well, you know?
If you would have told me a week ago I was turning down $7,000 for a card, it would have been like, what the hell are you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What do you mean you're turning down $7,000?
Yeah,
that's because it's a low offer. It's a low offer. All right.
Get its value, you know?
Let's get to the random question.
Random question.
I had trash the day earlier. Are you, I'm did stealing you say your
I'm stealing your okay. random question. You stole my trash the day. I'm going to steal the random question. This unrelated to anything we've talked about, obviously. Would you take off work if you theoretically had $10,000 to $20,000 showing up at your door and you had to be there for it?
I mean, sure, I'd take off work for all kinds of reasons. I mean, don't ask somebody else. Don't ask me.
Theoretically.
I don't think there's any bad reason to take off of work. You don't want to work, don't work. Like, you know, like you're allowed, as long as you got the days and you're not leaving everybody high and dry. In this case, you would not be, I can work on Friday or Thursday or next month, depending on when a high valued thing might come.
A high valued thing might have to be signed for, you know?
Yeah, I think in that case.
And if you don't sign
honestly,
for it, then
it would depend on the value. Yeah. I would say the answer is dependent on the value. If we're talking $500, I don't know.
Of course
just,
not.
You know, different
but
case.
If it's,
we're talking 10 to 20K. Yeah.
And if you don't sign for it that day and you're not there, then it sits all weekend in a post office and who knows with the USPS so or wherever it's coming from.
Yeah, in that case, I'd probably skip work.
Would you?
Yeah. In that case, I'd probably skip
just work. Asking out of curiosity. That's all.
You know, just hypothetically, this doesn't feel related to you at all, huh?
No, it's not. It's unrelated completely.
So you're thinking about taking this? Do you think about taking a day off of work?
The boss has no clue.
Well, he knows now.
I haven't
talked listening.
To him. I haven't talked to him yet about it.
In fairness, he's got a pretty
as
a good boss does. He's got a pretty lax policy on the when I tell you I have to be off. He doesn't really fight it unless there's like a real reason to not have me be off.
Yeah, basically what happened. We don't get into the details of it, but it was supposed to be here before Friday, and it's not, and so it screwed some things up. That's all. Yeah.
Someone says I might have taken the rest of the week off. I mean, not the week, but yeah, Friday would have been. What would you have done if this got like if this was like a Wednesday poll and you had to come to work the next day?
Oh, I would have been fine. I would have been even more amped. I've had multiple days to process this now, so I'm calmer. But it was the first night or two, I definitely, like...
Honestly, I'm not going to risk it. Like, I'm not risking any portion of that process. Like,
because
you want to get further in the... So, like, if it's I got to be off of work to ensure that that's the case, well, then I got to be off work to ensure that that's the case.
My answer is 1,000% needs to happen. I'm just putting it out there in case there's anybody that's curious.
I'd love to just like give you a hard time and be like, no, get your ass to work. Nobody on the Texans is going to buy that from me. Let's just like, no one on the Texans is going to buy it from me. The person who was once late for this show to be on a blimp.
That's true.
I've missed portions of this show.
That's
for all kinds of reasons, way less legitimate ones.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not, again, you can just take off time because you don't feel like it. But like, I mean, I've missed portions of this show or the entirety of this show for all kinds
that's
of crazy ass
true.
Reasons.
That's very
true. It'd be rich coming for me. What do you think, Drew? You think that's a reasonable reason to take a day off?
Oh yeah. I don't know if anybody would argue against that. If you knew you had 10 to 20K...
Showing up to your door.
I mean, let's just say it was cash instead, because it might as well be.
Yeah.
It's a single piece of paper, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's worth
that much, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like somebody's just going to deliver a $10,000 bill to your... Yeah, I'd want to be there for the... I don't even like it when it's something that I've like been kind of... Like, not even that expensive, but something you've just been kind of waiting for. You're like, I got to sign for it. I was mad like 2 weeks ago. Not kidding. I almost had to miss work. Because my daughter's medication was out and it has to be signed for or they won't deliver it to it. And she was already out. She was out for a week. And I'm like, it was signature only. And I'm like, I'm just going to take off work for these pills. I don't know what else to do. That's going to get cut. Oops.
Yes, it will.
I'm just going to have to take off time for that. So that cost me $17 or something with my insurance. But I wanted the thing. I need the thing. Therefore, I don't think it is.
I'm 100% with you. I just...
You gotta have, unless you had someone, like, unless you had, like, a nephew at a school in summer or something. You know, you don't have your nephews aren't old enough for that. But like, let's say I had a 15-year-old who could sit and kick it, or Kramer could go to your house or something.
Sure.
Fine. But like, unless you got like a body, I'd say no.
Yeah.
And a trusted
body. I'm waiting to see, but there's a chance that might have to happen.
I'm just going to take off work for these pills.
That is the random question of the day, unless you have a real one.
No. Well, I mean, I had one, but now I don't want to get into a random question now.
Save it for tomorrow.
Unless you guys...
I saved my trash of the day from earlier, too.
Did you guys see the most recent update on Bill Belichick and his female companion?
No. What's the latest?
Is that what we're calling her at this point?
Article out at The Athletic. We're talking all about this. We said she was going to release a statement about how weird that CBS interview was. Well, now there's a brand new article up at The Athletic that says Bill Belichick was slated to do Hard Knocks, as we all know, as part of the NFL. It was not the NFL owners who put the stop to it. It was Jordan. Bill Belichick's current girlfriend was reportedly at odds with some of the stuff that might be shown and was a major driving force for how this thing ended up getting canceled through this. So now she's canceling TV deals? This is crazy.
There's got to be something out there that we're not supposed to know.
I mean, he called her a creative muse. He obviously has put her in charge of some business stuff. She is in charge of some business stuff. I'd say keep her off the checking account, Bill, but like, she is in charge of some business decisions.
He trusts her, and she's, you know, she's got ultimate control of him, clearly.
I'm at the point now in this where, are we sure Bill thinks that she's his creative muse, or is she telling him to say this on national television?
Oh, I think he's definitely blinded by things.
She has him wrapped around her finger.
Yeah.
Somebody said, if Bill Belichick can get whipped, what luck is there for me? I said, well, none, my guy. Bill's been one of the most powerful people in football for the last 30 years. Just, you know, accept. Like, it's crazy. But she's killing major TV deals. They'd be great. And apparently the university also was like,
now, I will say, Belichick has never liked the media though that much anyway. So like the idea that she would not want to do it, like if you told me Bill Belichick nixed it, we'd all be like, sure, of course. So is she just taking like the brunt of it for him essentially?
Yeah. But Bill's going on CBS Sunday morning to answer questions about a book.
Right.
I don't know if that,
I mean, he didn't have to write a book.
That's the whole thing.
Like, he didn't have to write the book.
This goes back to when he was in the NFL. One of the things that came out of this story and what came out of the Pro Football Talk story yesterday was talking about this, that is complete nonsense. Like, well, she released an email, and in the email, Bill is bitching and moaning about having to do like the things the media will say about this book and not wanting to do the president. Well, don't write a book. You got tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions. Don't promote the book. You can just write it and say you wrote it and give it to your friends and never make a cent off it. Doesn't matter. You don't have to do any of this. It is voluntary. You're 70 years old and worth $50 million. You don't have to work. So like the book thing, it's like you don't get to complain about how the media treats you in an interview for an interview you decidedly do not have to do. That goes back to, we said this before, like sometimes as a media end, we get annoyed because like people will be impossible to work with when they're athletes. And then they get all the ESPN and they're just, all part of the machine, you know? Happy to be a part of the rest
Someone
of the
just says,
stuff.
Bill's just living his best life. Who knows how many more years he's got?
I don't
Let
know,
him enjoy
man.
It. That's the text line, at least.
He's not enjoying. He's mad about doing CBS interviews. He should be enjoying. He should be on the beach doing airplanes.
I'm convinced that his life is really, his life with whatever her name is not what it is
Jordan.
Cut out to be. Jordan, yes. I think he's
I think he's actually very happy.
I don't have any idea. I think he's putting on a face. I think he is.
Then he can get rid of her. We're not gonna like nobody's forcing him to be in a relationship.
I don't know.
I just don't buy that. Like he's in a relationship and he feels like he can't get out. What?
I don't know.
He just break up with her. Be done.
For him to
he
be
was
asked,
with his last girlfriend for 15 years and he just left her.
For him,
so it's not like
I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that.
Him
like
and his wife got divorced in the early 2000s.
For him to be asked a question about simply where do they meet and she jumped back. It wasn't like a pause. He didn't look over for her for any sort of attention. He was about to say something he shouldn't have, and she stopped him before he did. That's the way that it looked to me.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
A lot of rumors out there.
If you're also one of these players.
A lot of rumors out there.
You want to go down a rabbit hole, feel free.
Yeah, that might be my problem. That might be the problem with me is I took an extra 10 minutes out of my day.
I'm not kidding. Like a minute ago, he just released a statement.
Okay.
So let's take a break and we can get back to it on the other
side. Let's read that statement. Boy. We'll also talk about developing.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
At one position in 2025 for the Chiefs.